Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 7 through 10 as in the introduction here, but we'll keep our Bibles open there because we're going to be looking at some more verses from this chapter. The last several weeks I've been studying the book of Deuteronomy in my Bible study, and the Lord showed me this truth. It was a blessing to me, and I hope it will be a blessing to you tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and let's stand together, if you're able to, for the reading of God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning verse 7 through verse 10. The Bible says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." And let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your holy word. I thank you for the instructions we find in it that teaches us how to live. I thank you for this church, the precious folks here this afternoon. I pray that you would fill each of us with your spirit now. Help us to learn the truth you have for us. And when we leave here, that we may apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we see here that the children of Israel, they are getting ready to enter the promised land. If you study the history of Israel, Israel was greatly blessed by God. God had chosen them to be his special people. He guided them from Egypt to the promised land. And on that journey, they went through times of victory and also defeat. They went through times of prosperity and times of purging. They went through times of feasting and times of famine. They went through times of seeking God's face and also times of rebelling against God. And there are many parallels between what the children of Israel went through and what we as God's people go through. And we find in 1 Corinthians 10 that God tells us that the things that happen to the children of Israel, they are examples for us and that we're supposed to learn from them. And these things are written for our admonition and for our instruction. And so I want us to look at a truth here in Deuteronomy 8 that we can also apply in our lives. But here in this chapter, God is instructing his people. And he's telling them what to do when they experience material prosperity. If you look again at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, the beginning says, "When thou hast eaten and art full." And if you look at verse 12 and 13, he says, "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied." God is teaching them, you're going to enter a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And when you get settled in there, and when you start to grow, and you start to prosper, and you start to have more things, I want to give you some instruction for how you should live. I want to say this afternoon, it's not wrong to have plenty in this life. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, it says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God." Amen? God has designed us to work, and he has made it so that we are to be able to enjoy the rewards that come from our work. But truthfully, as Americans, we have so much. Friday, Black Friday, we decided to go shopping. Wrong decision. So we're at Kohl's, went to Kohl's. I don't even know why we went there. We got into Kohl's, and I started walking around the store, and they had two different cash registers, and each of them had about a mile-long line waiting. And I told my wife and son, we're not going to buy anything in this store. Because you know how Kohl's is. It takes forever to even one person to check out. But I saw that everywhere we went, people are buying and buying. And in America, we have so much, so much. A few years ago, I took a trip to Sierra Leone, which is a few countries over from Ghana. And I was preaching a youth conference there. And the youth conference was held in a village. And in that village, they have no electricity and no running water. And so I stayed at a guest house, and they ran a generator for a few hours every night so you could charge your phone. And in the morning, I remember taking a bucket bath with cold water. Amen. Every time I take a shower now, I thank God for hot water. We truly have so much. And truly, that's a luxury. It's not a necessity. We've been in America now for about 3 months, and I think I've eaten about twice the amount of food I would eat normally in 3 months in Ghana. I can't say I haven't enjoyed it, though. Recently, we were in Savannah, Georgia, and we were with family. They took us to a buffet, and just one of the best meals I've ever had. I mean, all you can eat, salmon, collard greens, sweet potato casserole, mashed potatoes and gravy, fried chicken, even gumbo. And I ate and ate until I was full, and then I ate some more. Amen. Like we probably all did on Thanksgiving. I know that not everyone here tonight or not everyone in America has what we will say plenty. But I believe that if I could take you back to Ghana with me, and take you to the village of Barakuma where we started a church there and see how they live, I think we would get an understanding of how rich we truly are. I want to bring you a message today titled, When You Are Full. When You Are Full. It's not wrong to have money. However, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So we see here that the problem is not having riches, but the problem is when we trust in riches, or when riches become our God. That is the problem. Knowing how to live a life that pleases God in times of plenty is important. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 4. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul realized he had to learn how he should live when things are going bad. But he also had to learn how to live when he was full and when he abounded. I would dare say that more people have gotten out of God's will during times of earthly prosperity than during times of earthly poverty. Prosperity can be a trap. I think of King Saul. Saul, when they were going to try to anoint him to be the king of Israel, they couldn't find him anywhere. Where's Saul? Where's Saul? Somebody said, oh, he's over here hiding behind the stuff. Why? He was scared. They brought Saul out and they anointed him to be king, and God blessed him. They started winning battles. They started to prosper. And what happened to Saul? He got lifted up with pride, turned away from God in a time of prosperity. I think of King Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. God blessed him so greatly. During his time, gold and silver were almost as plenteous as stones. He built a magnificent temple for the Lord. He began so great, penned the book of Proverbs. But yet, in the time of his prosperity, He took liberty to marry an Egyptian woman against God's command, and pretty soon took other strange wives. And as he got older, they turned his heart away from God. And sadly, God became Solomon's enemy. Think about that. I think of King Uzziah. King Uzziah began to reign in Judah at 16 years of age. God greatly prospered him. It was in his time when they started to defeat the Philistines. The Ammonites came and brought gifts to King Uzziah just because they were afraid and they wanted to make peace. His name and his fame went abroad. He fortified Jerusalem with towers on the wall, built catapults that could shoot arrows and large stones. He had an army of over 300,000 men. He had so much cattle, he had to dig wells in the wilderness for his cattle. He had vineyards in the mountains. Just a time of great prosperity. But then the Bible says this: when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. It was during the time of blessing, during the time of prosperity, when Uzziah said, I'm going to go into the temple and I'm going to offer on the altar of incense a sacrifice. The priest told him not to do it, but he refused and he went to do it anyway, and God struck him with leprosy. King Uzziah had to give up his throne to his son, and he was a leper to the day of his death. What happened? When did he fall? When did he go away? It was during a time of prosperity. I think of the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. God said this to them. He said, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Evidently, this church of Laodicea, they had some prosperity. And this is what he says of them. He says, and knowest that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God is telling them, you think you're rich, but you're not. Truly, it is times of prosperity. The times of prosperity can be a trap. We must be careful to live how God wants us to live when we are full. When you are full. Today, I want to give you three things to do when you are full. From our text here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's look at verse number 10. Deuteronomy 8:10 again, it says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt what? Bless the Lord thy God. What should you do? How should you live when you are full? Number one, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. When you are full, you should bless the Lord. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. To bless the Lord means to praise him, to honor him, and to favor him. How do we bless the Lord? There's many ways we can bless him, but let me give you a few thoughts here. Number one, bless the Lord by giving him your first fruits. Bless the Lord by giving him your first fruits. I've been reading Deuteronomy 26. And God told the people, he said, when you are in the land of promise, you reap your harvest. He said, take the first fruits, put them in a basket, and take that basket and bring it to the priest for a sacrifice and worship the Lord your God. How do we bless the Lord? We can bless him by giving him of our first fruits. When we say, God, everything I have is from you, and I'm going to bring to you the first. I'm going to bring to you the best. I'm not going to give you the leftovers. It's how we can bless the Lord. What do you give to the Lord? I don't know who many of you are. But I know that there are challenges in life. We have things that come our way, and sometimes we can be tempted to say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Let me encourage you to bless the Lord. Give Him the first fruits. Give Him the first tenth, and watch how He'll take good care of you. Bless the Lord by giving Him your first fruits. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We should give God the first and the best, not our leftovers. Malachi, God was upset with His people. And He said, you're bringing me offerings and sacrifices of the speckled, of the sickly, of the diseased. He said, would your master be satisfied with that? No. And God wants our first and our best. Bless the Lord. Give Him your first fruits. Give Him your thanks. What a blessing to in Sunday school this morning to hear a lesson on thankfulness. We always need to be reminded of that. Give Him your thanks. Sometimes people call Thanksgiving Turkey Day. Yeah, I understand you can call it Turkey Day, but I love the term Thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Count your blessings and thank God for them. Give Him your thanks. Yes, we had Thanksgiving, but did you personally take some time to thank God for everything He's done for you? Think of all the blessings you have and thank Him from your heart. Give Him thanks. I think sometimes we're kind of like a spoiled child who gets mad at his dad because he didn't get the gift he wanted, while he fails to understand and acknowledge all the things his dad does for him. And truly, God is good to us. Amen? Amen? And God does much for us, and we should give Him our thanks. What should we do when we're full? How should we live? First of all, we see that we should bless the Lord. Let's look at the second truth here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's look at verse 11 through 14. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then in verse number 18, verse part 8, it says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Number 2, beware that you forget not the Lord. Beware that you forget not the Lord. We must not forget the one who brought us to where we are today. We must not forget the one who has provided everything that is good in our lives. James chapter 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Truly, every good thing that is in our lives is not of our own doing. It's a gift from the Father above. Amen? Amen? Beware that you forget not the Lord. King Solomon, as an old man, admonished his son. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When material prosperity comes our way, there's a temptation to focus on the gifts, and to forget about the giver of those gifts. In Ghana, we have a tradition that we do pretty faithfully. On Friday nights, I take my wife out on a date. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like Friday date night. We started going out on a date. Josiah was pretty small, so we'd have somebody babysit him. And I remember when we started going on dates and we come back, that when I opened the door, Josiah would be happy. You'd hear him run to the door, "Mommy and Daddy are home. Come and give us a big hug." He was happy just because we were there. One time we were out on a date, and my wife said, "You know, why don't we buy a treat for Josiah?" "Oh, that would be nice." So we bought him a little treat, and we got home, and "Mommy and Daddy are home," and runs up to us, and we said, "Here, we have a treat." And he was so happy to get a treat that night. And then that became a tradition. So now, when we come home, you don't hear, "Mommy and Daddy are home." You hear, "What did you get for me? What did you bring me?" Amen. He's a good boy. Not trying to embarrass him. But the truth is, sometimes we focus on the gift and we forget the giver. To remember the Lord means that we remember His laws and we keep them. If you look there in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, he says, "Beware that you forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes." When you are full, when your material possessions increase, when you have plenty, you have more choices available to you, and God is warning you, says, "Don't forget my laws. Don't forget my commandments. Don't put what you want above what God wants. Don't forget your father's instructions." Serving in Ghana has been a blessing. People are very receptive to the gospel. When first few years there, I was the youth pastor. We had a teenage girl who started coming to our church very faithfully. Joined the teen choir, and for a while, very dedicated church member, Christian. She started missing church, and one day we saw her out in the community, and she made this comment to my wife. She said, "I'm tired of everybody telling me what to do. I just want to do what I want to do." And it was so sad, but she decided to stop going to church. And the reason was because she didn't want to have to submit to somebody else. What God is telling us here is that we must remember His laws. God doesn't give us His commandments and His instructions and His laws just for the sake of giving us something to do. No, it's in our best interest. It's for our benefit. It's for our good to remember His laws and to keep His commandments. God tells us in Psalm 103, 17 and 18, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them." Hey, when you have eaten and you're full, beware that you forget not the Lord. Beware that you remember and regard and keep His commandments. It's for your own benefit. Amen? God promises mercy upon those who keep His covenant and remember His commandments to do them. When you are full, number two, beware that you forget not the Lord. You may be familiar with this story, but there was a king of Judah named King Ahaziah. King Ahaziah was slain by Jehu. Jehu was commissioned by God to judge the king of Israel, but he also killed some of the royal seed in Judah. Because of this, there's no king. Ahaziah's mother was very wicked. Her name was Athaliah. And Athaliah took it on herself to kill her grandchildren, to kill anyone who could become the next king. And for some time, she reigned in Judah. Very wicked, wicked woman. But there was a young boy by the name of Joash. And his nurse took him and put him in hiding before they could kill him. And the priest of those days was a man by the name of Jehoiada. And when Joash got to, I believe, 7 years of age, Jehoiada brought him out. And he had the people kill Athaliah, and they made Joash to be the king. That was a great day for Judah. Joash began to reign, and if you study his life, he did a lot of good. He made some good changes in Judah, but the truth is the reason that he was doing good was of the influence of Jehoiada, the priest. But the day came when Jehoiada died, and some princes came to Joash and convinced him to worship false gods. Jehoiada had a son by the name of Zechariah. And Zechariah came out and he proclaimed the truth. And he warned Joash to turn back to God. And do you know what Joash's response was? He had them stone Zechariah to death. The Bible says that he didn't remember the goodness of Jehoiada unto him. Joash, when he was king, he took it on himself to do what he wanted to do. And he forgot what Jehoiada had done, and he killed the son of Jehoiada. Wicked. What happened? He forgot. Now I want to encourage you this afternoon that when you are full, when God blesses you, when what you have increases, beware that you forget not the Lord. Forget not the one who gave you what you have. And remember his commandments to do them. Amen. When you're full, number one, bless the Lord. Number two, beware that you forget not the Lord. And number three, let's look again in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 15 through 18. The Bible says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. The third truth we need to remember and the way we need to live when we're full is this. Number three, be humble. Be humble. When you've eaten and you're full, be humble. Don't get lifted up with pride and think that it is your own power that got you that wealth. The power to work and to get wealth is not of ourselves. It is from the Lord. And we must remember that and stay humble. If we remember what Paul told Timothy. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not what? High-minded. We must be humble. Pride has brought the downfall of so many people before us. And pride will also be our downfall if we allow it to. When you are full, be humble. Don't look down on other people. Don't look down on those who have not. But for the grace of God, That could be us. Amen. September 1st, we arrived in America. We got our vehicle here in Florida, and we started our journey. We went to Mississippi, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, California, Oregon, Montana, over to Indiana, Iowa, West Virginia, and then back down. But almost everywhere that we've been, we've seen a lot of homelessness, a lot of people on the streets, and different pastors telling me, yeah, this is becoming a bigger problem in our city. And a lot of, I don't know about this area, but maybe you also have homelessness here. But we do need to be careful that sometimes we can be quick to judge others and say, oh, they're in that situation. It's their own fault. It's their problem. It's not my problem. We must work to keep a tender heart and realize, but for the grace of God, we could be in that same condition. Love what Paul told the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 4:7. He said, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" Saying, if everything you've got is something that was given to you, why are you walking around as if you're something special, you're something great, that you're a self-made man? No, God gave that to you. Amen? Be humble. James 4:6 says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." God blesses humility. And when you're full, you have to be intentional to be humble. As we come to the conclusion, if you could turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, I just wanted to share with you this illustration. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. One of the good kings of Judah, his name was Hezekiah, and Hezekiah did a lot of good for the children of Israel. God sent the prophet Isaiah to him to tell him, "Your time is up. Get your house in order because you're going to die." Hezekiah prayed and wept and he begged God to spare his life. And God answered his prayer. God gave him 15 more years of life. But if you look here in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 24 and 25, it says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for what? His heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem." If you look in the other record of this story, Hezekiah, after he was healed, the Babylonian messengers came and he showed them all of his wealth, the wealth of the kingdom, in his pride. And it brought God's judgment. But the reason that Hezekiah did not render to the Lord what he should have was because of his pride. And when we get lifted up with pride, it will keep us back from rendering unto the Lord that which we should give him, and that which will bring his blessings in our lives. What is it that brings God's blessings? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." What is it that will bring God's blessings? I believe the beginning is this: we must humble ourselves. It's only when we humble ourselves that we'll pray. It's only when we're humble that we'll seek God's face. It's only when we're humble that we'll turn from our wicked ways. But we must strive to remain humble. When you are full, be humble. I believe here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God gave his people this instruction because he knew the temptations that were going to come to them when the blessings came. Maybe in your life, you are blessed and you have extra. Maybe you are full. I hope today's message can be a help to you. Maybe just a reminder of how we ought to be living our lives. Truly all of us can apply these truths to our lives. When you are full, number one, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord with your life, with all you have. Number two, beware that you forget not the Lord, but keep his commandments. And number three, be humble. Don't be proud. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Maybe there was something in the message for you this afternoon. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. If God spoke to your heart today, I would encourage you and I would invite you to make a decision. Don't just be moved by the Spirit, but respond. Whatever God spoke to your heart about, why don't you there commit to God that you're going to make that change in your life? Maybe something you need to start doing, something you need to stop doing. If God spoke to your heart tonight and you say, Brother Charles, there was something in the message for me, and I'm making a decision, I'm making a commitment, something I'm going to do because of this truth. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Is there anyone here like that? God spoke to your heart. You're going to make a decision. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Teaches us how to live, Lord. Teaches us how to be blessed. I pray that you'd help us to remember these truths, especially for these who made a decision, Lord. Would help them to keep that commitment. Keep it before them. Give them strength that they may go out and do what they've heard. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. If you would stand with me as the piano begins to play, the altar's open. Would you come? If God has blessed you, and in your life, have you, through your blessings, forgotten him? This is something you look through Scripture that even kings have been guilty of. Oh, it's something every American, every Christian needs to search their heart. Put these truths into practice so that through the blessings in which God has given us, we don't become full of pride and full of self. Good. I wish every American, I wish every Christian across this country could hear that message. And no better timing than right now at Thanksgiving, going into Christmas. When you're telling that story of your son, I just see myself as a little boy at Christmas, you know, what'd I get? And so much we give gifts because Christ gave us the greatest gift himself. And we need to make sure that we never forget the giver. And so through that, boy, we're just so good, so good. I just sat there thinking, man, I enjoyed that. And I wish I could go to Africa and hear it preached in Ghanaian. I don't know if that's how you say it. Tree. And boy, that was good. I'm going to ask our young men to come forward with an offering plate. We like to be able to do things for our missionaries, to spoil them, to give them their favorite candy, snacks. I'm sure there's a lot of things that you probably can't get there in Africa. But what they need most for traveling expenses is cash. And so if you can give, now if you can't, you don't have anything right now and you want to give it this week, we'll make sure we get it to them in the next month's mail outs. But if you have of the Lord that you're able to be a blessing to them, how many years have you been in Africa now? 16 years. So the same time I came here, you went to Africa in 06? 06. And so he's been serving there in Africa the same amount of time I've been here. And so faithfully serving the Lord. And I love Brother Charles. He was my favorite roommate because he was the cleanest roommate, I will say. And of course, we'll share some names. I'm not going to say them now, but some old names that I haven't heard in a while. Because not everybody in our room was the cleanest. But that story about not showering and bathing, that wasn't Brother Charles. And no. He's a godly man, and I'm so thankful that we get to partner with him and his sweet family. And so we'll have a time of offering and before we're dismissed. So if you could, maybe we'll have a brief offertory, and our young men can go, and then we'll be dismissed.
Closure tonight is thank you, Lord. And so thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation. So